We want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue in our discussion of the Word of God. We are grateful to have had a wonderful holiday to celebrate Jesus Christ, the birth of Christ, and to bring in a new year, 2020. And we know that God has nothing but good things in store for us. And we're just going to, by faith, continue in our study of God's Word and just pray that He will bring out everything that it is that He desires for the church to receive. Amen. So this week we're going to continue with end time events. We were talking before about how the spirit of Antichrist is at work and how the Antichrist will not be revealed until the church has been raptured out. And what we have to understand with this end time event is that God is not done with Israel. There's a big misconception in the body of Christ as if Israel has been replaced by the church or by any other particular group, whether it's the Black Hebrew Israelite gospel. Israel has been placed in spiritual timeout. And although national Israel is blinded because they rejected the Messiah, God still has a plan for them. Yes. God's word is still true. The reason why we're seeing a lot of turmoil over in the Middle East and over with Israel and what have you in Jerusalem is because of the prophecies about world events. And if we keep our eyes on Israel, we will know where we're at prophetically, and we won't fall for the schemes and the trick of the enemy. What we hear and what we see on the news, we won't be deceived by it. And what you got to understand is that there are many false teachers, false prophets, false doctrine. See, there are many things. Satan uses deception. That's his greatest tool. And he uses, normally deception rides in on the back of truth. There may be some truth to some things, see? But a little leaven, one lie, can negate. It makes the whole thing. I don't care how much truth is in it. If there is one little bit of a lie or leaven in it, then it all is a lie, okay? If in this world that we're living in today, people can't discern and decipher what is true and what is fake. Why? Because Satan is the author of confusion, see?
Amen.
And Satan uses confusion to keep people blinded to the truth. And I heard a guy say today, he was talking about when he was a child, he used to, they had some store that they would go into, and there was a guy that worked there, and I think it was the post office, I'm not sure, or some store he worked at, and the guy was blind. And he said they were just fascinated that this blind man worked, and he would take the money, and he could feel people give him, he'd ring them up, people give him money, and he knew how much to give back. He knew what they gave him and how much to give back. And it was because he could feel the money, feel the bills, and know what type of bill it was when they gave it to him. Understand, or what type of coin it was. Why? Because he could feel it. He had come in contact with it. But he was blind, and he said they would try to go in there and trick him and bring and give him just to see how does this man know. But every time, no matter the bill, no matter the coins, he knew what it was and how much to give back. My point is, if you know truth, if you know the truth, you won't fall for the error.
Amen.
See, you don't have to go out here and study all the false doctrines and the teachings that are out there. You don't have to. Just know truth. If we come to know truth, the error will stand out like a sore thumb. See? And so we want to see tonight, this is why we looked at Satan as the Antichrist. When we say Antichrist, we read in the scriptures before how it said that he opposes all that is of God. Now, the word Antichrist just simply means pseudo-Christ. It means that he tries to be like Christ. Mm-hmm. See? A lot of times we think, oh, that's just the Antichrist because they're going against. But he will come as if. He comes covered up as if to be of God. Christ said, when they say Christ is here and I'm of Christ, don't believe them because they're pseudo-Christ. See?
Amen.
And this spirit, the same spirit, is at work today. This is why Israel will eventually, because they rejected the true Messiah, they will embrace the Antichrist at the end time, and that during the great tribulation, right before the Battle of Armageddon. And so what we have to understand is Christ returns twice. He returns once for the church, and in the second coming, he returns for Israel when they will truly bow down, but they're going to lose a lot, see? So the second coming is when Christ comes through the Battle of Armageddon, and he fights for it. And they will realize, and they will see the nails in his hands and in his pierced side, and they will say, who did this? And he said, I received this in the house of my friends, from the house of my friends. And they will weep bitterly because they realized they killed, had the Messiah killed, crucified. So my point in this is that we have to understand where we are prophetically. And in the book of Daniel chapter 9, you will see that there were 70 weeks. And at the 69th week, it said that the Messiah would come and he would be cut off. And then it stopped. There was like 7 weeks of years, and seven, when you calculate, and we have to see there, 70 weeks of years, and a week was like 7 years, okay? So when you calculate it all up, you'll see all the years in the 69th week. That's when the prophetic clock stopped, because they rejected the Messiah, and you see the book of Daniel prophesies that he was cut off. And then we will pick up with the set that last 7 week. See, this is why we're right now, Israel has the prophetic time clock has stopped, and it won't pick up again until the great tribulation, after the rapture and the great tribulation occurs. That's when God will deal with Israel. See? The great tribulation is, people will be able to get saved all over the world, but it'll be a lot harder. But it's mainly for Israel to come to Christ, okay? For them to embrace him this time as their Savior and Messiah. He won't die again, see?
Amen.
And so here we have, we're going to go to 2 John chapter 1. And we'll just go ahead and start at verse 1. We're talking about how there are going to be many false preachers, teachers, prophets, or what have you. And this is why we have to be prepared and know, come to know something, come to know the truth about God's word in all areas and aspects so that we won't be deceived. It is very easy to be deceived. If you don't know truth, you will fall into deception. If you don't understand how the process of the cross work in your life on a day-to-day basis, you will fall for error.
Amen.
Satan has a trick and a scheme and deception set up for all people on all levels. And this is why he says, he tells us to remain in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow, to abide by. See, if I come out, Satan's job is to lure me out of the secret place. He uses my passions and my lust. He uses my deceitful lust, my desires. And this is why it's important to be crucified with Christ. If you're not, Satan would bait you every time based upon your unnailed passions and lust.
Amen.
Every time, all of us. And so if I take my focus away from being crucified, see, we get saved, go to church, get to work, and we neglect the fact that Christ, we are crucified with Christ. We're supposed to be dead to sin. We're supposed to be dead to self, dead to the world, and dead to Satan. But when you find out, when you look, God allows circumstances and situations to reveal that I'm living for self.
Wow,
that
amen.
I'm living in, according to the world system. I'm viewing things according to the way the world system views it. I'm I got self on the throne of my heart, my desire, what I want, when I want, and how I want it. See, that's what it's about. It's not about me living according to his will. And so Christ came and set the greatest example of living for God, and it was to die to himself. Not my will, thy will be done.
Amen.
This is why he could not, he came in a body of flesh, but he did not come to express himself as God. He had to express himself as a man fully dependent upon God.
Yes.
And so the theme that what we look at tonight is we need to become dependent upon God. Many of us in the body of Christ are independent of God. We're living a life, Christian life, based upon independence of God. We're separated. We're not depending on his power. We're not depending on his strength. When he says, not by your power, not by your might, but by my spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Why? Because oftentimes we don't like what God has to say. We're prideful. We want it our way. And if we don't get it our way, we'll leave and go somewhere and pout until we get it. Or if we want to go back to what we know and what we're used to, see?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll search the world. We'll be in a wilderness 40 years. And God says, I'm teaching you about me. And because I refuse to be dependent upon God, I die. I will die in a wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
I will never obtain the promises, peace, love, joy, hope, faith, all the things that the cross has to offer me, I will never embrace it in this life. Why? Because I put my desires over the will of God. I put my opinions over the will of God. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. So let me get there. Y'all already there, I'm sure, but we can go ahead and start reading. I said 2 John chapter 1.
The elders unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only, but also they that have known the truth.
I'm sorry, Sister Cherry, because that was very powerful.
Okay.
It says, let me read the notes with this. The elder, it says, normally refers to pastor. However, this seems to be a title given to John, and for the obvious reasons. He was the last apostle of the chosen 12 to die. Unto the elect lady and her children, it is believed that this woman was a devout Christian who lived near Ephesus. It also seems her home was the meeting place of the local assembly, whom I love in the truth. And this is the love of God. This love in the truth is what has to be placed in all of us. All of us, see, we cannot submit one to another unless this love of the truth is placed in us. Y'all understand?
Amen.
See, submission ends when the word of God has been violated. Most of us are submitted to men and women because of their titles and position, but the submission is only to one another based upon truth, the love and truth.
Amen.
See, we stay submitted in false doctrine and wrong and error because this is my family church. This is my mama church. This is the pastor wants me to do this, and he can be in error. But because there's no love in the truth,
amen,
we will continue to support error and wrongdoing. This is why the body of Christ is in the state it's in today.
Yes.
We're more concerned about what people think of us than about being nailed, crucified, our passions and lusts nailed. See? Once our passions and lusts are nailed, you're not concerned about what people think of you anymore.
Ooh, amen.
Your main concern is what the will of God. You have an audience of one, and that's God. Our aim and goal is to do his will. So when there is love in the truth, now notice what he says. And he says, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they who have known the truth.
Truth.
See? Mm-hmm. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, truth is a person. It's not subjective. It doesn't change. It's absolute. It's objective. Truth is the man, Jesus Christ. See, this truth that we have now, everybody got truth based upon their own opinions. But truth should not change. It never changes.
Amen.
So when I come to know Christ as the truth, he said, you shall know truth, and the truth shall do what?
Make you free.
You see? The truth comes to strip us of our falsehood. The truth comes to make us, in reality, what only God can put in us. See?
Amen.
He says, and you shall, if you might, he says, those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed or in reality. See? Yeah. And you shall know the truth, and the truth is what's going to make us free. It's going to change us.
Amen.
If there is no truth, as according to Jesus Christ and him crucified, the gospel centered around Christ and the cross, I don't care how long I go to church, how much I pay my tithes, and how often I pray. Only truth can set me free from this bondage that I have within me to any type of sin, to any worldly thing in this world, whatever loyalty I have to people. See?
Yeah.
It says the bond that had pulled this aged apostle to this dear lady and her to him is truth.
Yes.
See? So anybody in the faith that's living according to truth, it goes beyond the love and the bond of flesh and blood. See?
Amen.
Those that are going and living their life according to the truth, those are the ones that are the beloved in Christ. But many of us will set aside those that are walking in truth and go after, y'all see, who can offer me something. Those
yeah.
that's in the world, but they can offer me a position. They can offer me a title. They can see, God deemed those who lived according to truth as important. Why?
Amen.
Because they've forsaken themselves and picked up the will of God.
Amen.
Okay, and we're going to keep going. Verse 2.
For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace
it
be
says,
with
I'm going to read the notes as you go through.
Okay.
It says, love is a product of truth. And truth cannot change. And we just said that. Keep going.
Okay. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love.
So it says the cross makes all this possible. Mercy, grace, peace, truth, and love. All found in the cross, in Christ.
Amen.
So notice Amen. How he rejoiced because they had truth. They walked in truth and love. See? Verse 4.
I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father.
The notes say her children were conducting themselves in the sphere of truth as it is in Christ Jesus. That's the greatest joy. When we live our Christian life as in the sphere of truth and according to faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified, it says doing so on a daily basis. That causes us to rejoice, to see people living according to truth.
Amen.
He says,
Amen.
As we have received a commandment from the Father. Keep going.
And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another.
Okay. So it says this is the great hallmark of Christianity, love for one another. What do we see today? Is there a love, true, genuine love, as
nope.
the same love that Christ showed to us by giving his life for one another? Do we show that today in
nope.
the so-called organized church? No. It's, if you do
nope.
for me, I do for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
a tit for tat.
Yeah.
You see, if you come to my church and you do everything we want you to do, then we will embrace you and put you in the clique, in the circle,
mm-hmm.
the
Amen.
Circle of life. But as soon as you
Amen.
Disagree and go against the grain, you know what? You got to go.
Amen.
This is not the hallmark of Christianity. And no wonder the world says, I want no part of that.
That's right.
See, we're not doing anything any different than what the world is doing.
Amen.
The world promotes those that it loves. The world mm-hmm. promotes those that agree with it. But as soon as you come against the world, like y'all said earlier about the LGBTQ community or any group out here, this worldly group that wants you to tolerate their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you disagree with them, they want to go and sue you and
mm-hmm.
try to force you to make a cake and try to force you to take pictures of their wedding and do this
mm-hmm.
and that against your conscience because you're not in agreement with us. See,
right.
this same spirit is in the church, y'all, believe it or not. That same
mm-hmm.
spirit is in is
Amen.
In the church. We want us for or no, and no more. We want
Amen.
Those that talk like us, walk like us, act like us. But he told
mm-hmm.
us to go out into the highways and the byways and compel all men.
Yes, yes.
See?
Amen.
And so let's keep going with it. Verse 6.
And this is love, that we walk after commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
Now notice it says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Christ said, why call you me Lord, but don't do what I say?
Amen.
See, the two got to match. There's a lot of people that may be able to preach it, but not walking in it.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to walk and talk it. You got to talk it and walk it. You got to live it. Your lifestyle has to match it. It's easy to get behind a pulpit. It's easy to just study something and come out. But we got to, our lives, we have to show the love of Christ.
Amen.
See? And so
that's what we were talking about when just before we just kind of talking. It's easy, you know, just to read the word.
Right.
But how do we live that word? And the Bible actually said meditate on the word.
Mm-hmm.
So that means until that word become a part of us. And people don't want to do that no longer. They just want to get preached happy.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And so this lesson is good. Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's true. We want to amen the word. We want to quote the word, but we don't want to live it. We don't want to walk in it. Why? Because God demands a change.
Yes. Ooh, amen.
God demands. He said we're his fabric. We're his workmanship. That means fabric. And he's going to create us the way he wants us to be. Christ is the blueprint. That's what God is doing. He's conforming me into the image of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So every encounter, everything in life that I go through is making me, changing my character to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But when I refuse to go, when I hold on to God, want to hold on to God, but don't want to change, I'm like Jacob. I want to wrestle with God, but God has to break. He said he resists the proud.
Yes.
See? And he gives grace to the humble. So when Jacob was humbled, grace flowed. See? But as long as Jacob wrestled in his strength, he was not changed. But he held on because he desired to change, and he had to admit who and what he was. He said, what is your name? God asked, what is your name? He said, Jacob, which means I'm a supplanter. I'm a trickster.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said who he really was, God broke him, and he continued to hold on. God broke him, and he changed his name. See, that's an example of God dealing with us. Many of us want to hold on to the things of God and hold on to God, but we're wrestling with him when we refuse to change.
Amen.
And so now God, instead of giving me grace, he's wrestling. He opposes me. He resists the proud.
Yes.
Until I humbly submit and realize, you know what, Lord, woe is me, as Isaiah said. He said, woe is me. Before Isaiah was commissioned and called of God, he first pronounced, well, before he saw God in with the train and the glory in heaven, he had just pronounced in his previous chapters several woes unto Israel for their disobedience and their stiff-neckedness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he got into chapter 6 and he said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up in his train. See, he had to, whatever it was that was blocking him from seeing the Lord had to be torn down. See, this is all a process of the cross. And once that was removed, he could see the Lord as he really was. Sometimes being in religious circles, being around religious rhetoric, see, things that we have lifted up. See, sometimes we get in church and we become prideful because people, just because I go and I support and I do things, but see, people don't know your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it lifts us up. And God says, once those things are torn down, then you can see me in my glory. Sometimes these titles and positions don't do nothing but cause us to become, we're not transparent, we're not real, we become fake, we have a form, see?
Mm-hmm.
We can quote it, we can say it, but we're not living it, and we become blinded to our true condition.
Amen. Amen.
And God has to allow some things to bring down the Uzziahs, the things we lifted up, the idols, see, that prevent us from seeing God in his glory. Sometimes a religious church prevent us from seeing God in his glory.
Amen.
And it takes, oftentimes, God has to remove you from it, or remove, and we're going to get there. We're going slow, but we're going to get there. God has to remove you from it. God had to come out the midst of the seven churches, because by the time he started, he was in the midst. By the time he got to the apostate church, he was on the outside of it knocking.
Amen.
See, seeking for men. He said, if any man, let him hear. He was seeking for individuals now. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to let God deal with our heart. And when Isaiah saw the Lord as he really was, he saw himself. And then instead of pronouncing a woe on the nation of Israel, he said, woe is me.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all see? We all got to get to that's humility. We got to get to the point where we can see ourselves as we really are in the light of the glory of Jesus Christ. And when we see Christ in his glory, and you see all the seraphims and the cherubims crying, holy, 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 and they have not sinned, Isaiah couldn't do nothing but say, woe is me. I am a sinner. See?
Amen.
This is where God wants each of us.
Yes.
See, all the circumstances, all of a sudden, I can't look at my neighbor. I got to look at myself.
Ooh, glory, amen.
I can't look at my husband. I can't look at my wife. I got to look at myself. Because sometimes we can get so caught up looking at them. And God said, well, why did you respond that way?
Amen.
And oftentimes he will use the individuals to reveal what's in our heart. And Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? See, she was being used by Satan, one. But because Job was grounded in truth and the love of God, he responded correctly. You sound foolish.
Yes, amen.
See, he did not deny. He didn't do like Adam and listen to the woman who was in the flesh. Because he knew his Redeemer lived. See?
Oh, yes.
Just like the blind man in the store with the money. When you know truth, I don't care what goes on around you. You know truth. When the error comes, you stick with truth because you've had an encounter.
Yes.
You've experienced it. You've handled it. See, they said, we touched him. We've handled him.
Yes.
See, when Christ walked the earth, they handled him.
Yes.
Well, let's keep going. Y'all got me excited. Let's keep going. Verse 7. This is where we want to be in verse 7.
For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Oh, boy. Y'all see that?
Amen.
Satan is a deceiver. He works and operates in deception. He has ministers who present themselves as an angel of light. Remember, I said Antichrist is pseudo-Christ. It's a type of Christ. He presents himself as a type of Christ. The note says it's a false teacher who leads others into heresy away from the cross. See, if we look at world events and what's going on today, you see that the world is in the state it's in because the church refused to shine as light.
Yes.
And so why? Because this church has been consumed by heresies. When we embrace the gospels of the 40 days of purposes and name it and claim it and all these, that is a pseudo-Christ who has come into the church and caused us to push away the message of the cross.
Yes.
Change the foundation. Now there's no power to compel the world. See?
Amen.
To change. The reason why the world is shifting more and more to things of the darkness is because there is no, remember, he told us that the church is what hinders the Antichrist. See?
Amen.
The spirit of, and if the church, Satan is very clever. What did he do to Adam and Eve? It was prophesied that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. So what did Satan do? Immediately he went to work. See, Satan never stops. He's always working to do evil, always working, trying to plot and scheme to overthrow God's plan. Never, it never works.
Amen.
But
Amen.
God takes the foolish things, see,
mm-hmm.
the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yes.
So they think they're wise,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So Satan has many deceivers out there, right?
Yes.
And he tries to stop the furtherance of the gospel. During the time right before the Reformation, it was dark. There was no gospel. Over in Europe, they had the Bible only in Latin, and the people couldn't read Latin. There was no way that they could grow. See, Satan, this was Satan working through the religion of the Roman Catholic system at that time. And he was putting into action, he was trying to silence the true church, the true gospel, you see?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But a light broke out.
Amen.
God touched the hearts of the John Huss, the William Tyndale, the Erasmus. They went and translated the Bible into English. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
They translated the true interpretation of the Bible and put it in English and declared that every boy and girl, man and woman, should have a Bible in hand. See?
Yes.
William
Amen.
Tyndale was ordained to, he wasn't some great pastor or preacher. His sole purpose was to translate the gospel. He was educated in Greek. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
God always find a way to let the light of the gospel make it break through.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And it was called the Reformation because Martin Luther, who was a monk, was in the system. You see what I'm saying? He was in the system, but God touched the heart, and he had to go nail the 95 theses to the church door and say, the just shall live not by works, not
Amen.
By religious activity, but by faith. God takes the
mm-hmm.
foolish things. He came up against a religious hierarchy, big time people, the kings,
mm-hmm.
y'all understand? And they wanted him killed. What am I saying? God is doing the same thing today. He's raising up individuals who's tired of religion and false way and those who desire truth, who are sincere. Why? Because there are many deceivers who have entered into the world, and the sole purpose of these deceivers is to keep people in darkness.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's to keep people from gaining the truth of what God's word really means. There's so many Bible translations out there, and they're corrupt. They're not a word-for-word translation. And it makes us think that just because, and I'm not saying all of them, but you got to know how to use the King James with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're a thought for thought. They're idea for idea, or paraphrasing. If you compare it to the King James, you'll see it. What am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
Satan is trying to keep the world in darkness. He's the god of this world system, right?
Amen.
So it says, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It's a denial of the incarnation, meaning that he, as the Son of God, did not come down wrap himself in a body of flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. It says all false doctrine begins with a misconception or misinterpretation of the person of Christ. Now, understand, there is a difference between misinformation and disinformation, okay? Today, what we have today is we have a whole bunch of information out there, and this is how Satan works. He works to get wrong information handed down from person to person. Y'all know we'll believe a rumor
mm-hmm.
before we'll research and find out the truth of a matter, see? And this is how the news sources do. They'll put out, and it's been proven, they've shown it, they'll put out a lie and make you think one way, and when it's confronted later on, they'll retract it, but they put it in very small, fine print.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And they know that the lie was told, and most people grasp the lie and the rumor, and they won't go back and read to see the little fine print saying, oh, we posted a lie, it wasn't right, blah, 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 blah. Y'all see what I'm saying? So they put out these lies on purpose. Misinformation is when you give wrong information but not on purpose. Disinformation is when you purposely give false and wrong information or rumors because for the intent of spreading it for an evil agenda or purpose.
Amen.
Satan is the author of spreading disinformation. Now, when you and I get it, we don't understand that it's wrong and false information. But because we refuse to look up, to research, to find out the truth about the matter, we spread the disinformation, which makes it misinformation in our hands. You see, we're not purposely doing it in most cases. But we, so Satan knew, same thing with Adam and Eve. He knew the woman, he tricked her, right? And he told her a lie. He gave her disinformation, wrong information on purpose, because she didn't know the truth. She didn't. She had the truth, but she allowed him to change the truth to suit her lustful flesh, lustful desires. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So now she's taking the disinformation because she's misinformed. See, Satan purposely gave her false information, but she is now misinformed, and she gives this information to her husband. Yeah, this is the world system. This is how it works. So many, when it says many deceivers are entered into the world, everything about the world system is wrong. The information is wrong.
Yes.
It's not viewed from the perspective of God's point of view. It's not coming from a perspective that's godly and just and right. It's coming from a perspective of Satan. That's the root cause, the Antichrist. Okay?
Amen.
So, verse 8. Any questions while we keep going?
No.
Okay,
I
verse
don't.
8. Okay, verse 8.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son.
All right. I'm going to stop right there because we're still talking about the false teachers, false prophets. Now, go to 2 Peter, I'm sorry. Chapter
2. Did you say disinformation, D-I-S?
Uh-huh, disinformation.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yep, there's a difference between misinformation and disinformation.
Okay.
And we're going to 2 Peter, I think I said chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Okay. Now, notice here that let me get here right quick. Notice it says, but there arose false prophets also among. Did I say 2 Peter chapter 2 or 3?
Two.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You want to go 3?
No, I was at the wrong. It says, but there were false prophets among the people, and this refers to the false prophets who plagued Israel of old. Now, remember, they came out of Egypt. There was a lot of false prophets who had a lot to do with them not entering into the promised land. There were a lot of false prophets and false teachers in the midst, okay? And a lot of people, thousands, millions of people, dropped dead in the wilderness. It says, even as there shall be false teachers among you. It says, the false teacher is one who presents a way of salvation or a way of sanctification other than the cross. So it's going to sound, they're going to use scriptures. Remember I said Antichrist is a pseudo-Christ?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to use scripture. So deception rising on the back of error, or truth, I'm sorry. Deception rising on the back of truth. So they will use the scriptures, but it will not be centered around Jesus Christ and him crucified exclusively for to overcome sin, self, the world, and Satan. They're going to bring in, they're going to say, oh, the Bible says this, and hear the cross, but add this or take away that. You understand? It has to be Christ in the cross exclusively. So when you go to church and they tell you that if you pay your tithes, you can get healing, victory, all this stuff, victory doesn't come through that. See? Paying tithes is right. Okay? We're not saying don't pay your tithes. Pay your tithes. That is right. That is biblical. Understand what we're saying. But when I tell you that when you give or when you pray or when you attend that you're right with God based upon what you're doing, then that's a damnable heresy.
Wow.
It sets you up to push you away from the foundation of solely looking to the cross for all as your source of victory in all areas. And there's nothing you and I can do that will please God other than believe what Christ has already done. God was and is satisfied with what his son did at Calvary. So it's nothing I can do to earn anything from God or to make him move. Okay? None of us, salvation is a complete work. It's all in the hand of God. My part is to keep faith in the right object in order for grace to continue to flow. See, grace will flow if it's not frustrated.
Amen.
But as soon as I intervene and think that I can get God to move based upon my sacrifices or what I'm doing, then grace stops because I put my trust in my efforts to please God, you see?
Amen.
That's not how God works. So like we said, reading your Bible, going to church, paying your tithes, all those things are right and good. But as soon as I start thinking, and this is where the church puts people in error, they make them think because of what they're doing, see,
that
causes God to move.
Jesus.
It does not. And so people blindly, this is a false, this is a heresy. This is a damnable doctrine that comes in. And let's see what the note says. It says the false teacher is one who presents a way of salvation or a way of sanctification other than the cross. The idea is that these false teachers would teach some true doctrine and then cleverly include false teaching with it. It is the introduction of false teaching alongside the true that makes it very subtle. See? And which abrogates the truth. So they are very clever with it. This is why you got to know truth.
Amen.
So when it says even denying the Lord who bought them, it refers to denying the cross, meaning now, remember the Judaizers came in, Paul had gotten the Galatians saved according to faith in the cross, right? And immediately the Judaizers came in and said, yeah, you're right, you're saved, that's awesome. But you got to be truly saved, you got to be circumcised, see? And so these Galatians were on the verge of, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?
Amen.
See, they were bringing in something that wasn't right and true. And they were about to abandon the cross and go to circumcision to say they're right with God based upon being circumcised. These were Judaizers were trying to hold on to the law and salvation through Calvary. Can't do it.
Amen.
Now notice verse 2. Keep going. Wait a minute. It says, and even denying the Lord who bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. It says upon themselves and upon those who follow them, which refers to the ultimate loss of the soul. This is what Satan wants. He wants a powerless Christian. First, he makes us powerless. Then we can lose our soul.
Amen.
You know that we don't even go to the church with the expectation of seeing the power of God no longer.
Oh, isn't that true?
That is so true.
Amen.
That is so true. Man is controlling the worship. Man controls everything about the service. Like you said, the power of God, the expectation of him showing up, is no longer there. We control everything. Man makes himself the head of the church.
Amen.
Jesus.
Let's keep going.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fringed words make merchandise of you, who judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not.
Now, notice here, it says, and many shall follow. See, narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you find everybody going the broad way or the most popular way or the way that's most embraced, least resistance,
mm-hmm.
question,
mm-hmm.
whether that's according to the world system or whether that's in church, doesn't matter because the world system is in the church. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says, and many
mm-hmm.
shall follow their pernicious ways, actually means most, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, let me tell you, when you follow the way of truth, there's not many followers that way. There's not many people. Not many people go the way of truth because the way of truth demands that you and I decrease.
Amen.
It demands
Amen.
That we be crucified. See, the narrow way means that you can't take all your baggage, your excess baggage.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take sin. You can't take selfishness. You can't take your motives and agendas outside of the will of God. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So the way of truth is narrow, and most people will speak evil of it. They'll talk junk about you. They're going to say, oh, who she thinks she is and who they think. They think they this and they think they're that and blah, blah, blah. But if you're crucified, what? You don't care what people think.
Amen.
Amen.
We're not here to please people.
Amen.
Bible says Christ did not commit himself to man because he knew what was in man.
Amen.
As soon as you commit yourself to man, I'm telling you, they're going to turn on you in a heartbeat. But he was never critical of any man because Judas was a thief who handled the money and he betrayed him with a kiss. And Christ was never critical. He continued to work to compel him to come back to the fold. Friend, where comest thou? He knew he was going to betray him. You see what I'm saying? He knew Peter was going to deny him. But he continued, Peter, that Satan has asked to sift you. What am I saying? God knows about your problems. He know about the situations. You know, in year 2020, people saying they're getting rid of their haters. And God saying, them haters need to be saved too.
Amen.
Let me deliver you.
Amen.
Let
Amen.
Me deliver you, and then you'll be able to reach the hater. See?
Amen.
This is why that just simply means we got self on the throne of our hearts.
Amen.
When you can look past your enemy,
yes.
and you feel sorry or bad because you know that if they die in the state that they're in, that they're going to eternally be lost. See, we got to get beyond ourselves, see?
Yes.
There's so much beyond ourselves, so much more.
Amen.
So much more, and we're in church and we're telling people we love them and this and that, and then we go home and talk about them.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And God is saying, I want you to be a disciple in reality, not a form of godliness.
Amen.
See, and he says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, proclaims the fact that not only is the truth castigated, but the bearer of truth as well, in short, it is a denigration of the cross. So not only will the truth be castigated, but the bearer of the truth will be talked about and talked junk. You see, it's not you. It's a fist at God. But you just happen to be the bearer of truth.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Remember he told the disciples what they were going to do to them? It was because in his name they were doing those things. And they hated Christ. So the same is going to happen with you and I, but we'll be built up in faith. See, we'll be built up by the grace of God where we can stand in the midst of whatever.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. Because always remember, there's a soul. There's a soul that's in darkness because we all were there. We all were antagonistic to the truth. We all had our nose turned up to truth. But God, with his outstretched arm and his patience, lovingly continued, see, to press upon us. Until eventually we change. So we have to look at other people, at others the same way. They may not accept it and embrace it right away. They may still be angry and mad and talking junk, but always talk to them as if, this is the way I view people. What I say now, when they come to the truth and their eyes are open, they're going to remember this point in time, how I reacted and how I responded to them when they were antagonistic or against the truth. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Always remember, because how you respond when they're against truth, when they later convert, they're going to remember how you reacted and treated them. So you always got to look. This is why Christ said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, had he called the legions of angels down and said, attack them and do whatever, and said we eventually came to the truth, we're going to remember he wasn't a loving God. He told God to attack us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But he said, Father, forgive them. See, that makes his love so much more. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. See,
I just
go back and I remember. In my state of stupidity, I didn't realize that. But when I came to the knowledge of the truth, it makes me, my heart just flutter with joy and happiness and grace. The grace of God floods my heart because I know that while I was a sinner, he still died.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to treat others the same way. They may be blinded. They may be hard-hearted. We don't know what it is that they've gone through that made them hardened to the truth. But one day,
glory.
We should pray for them. And if we pray, God will give us life for them. See?
Yes.
That's the whole point of salvation. That's the whole reason why we grow in love in the truth of the gospel. So that my view and my mindset can be changed to view people and things and situations the way he views them.
Yes, amen.
Amen?
Mm. Amen.
Yes. All right, so he says here, let's go to let's see, where else I want to go. Let's go over to where do we stop? Verse 3?
Second Peter.
Yeah. I stopped at verse 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go over to 2 Timothy. We got a little turn. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I think this is where we stopped when we were over near the last time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And
where you at, Timothy?
2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to go to... We'll start at verse 14. So we're going to go down.
Okay, 2.
2 verse 14.
Okay.
Now, this is why we say stay in truth. Stay in. The only way you and I can stay in truth is that we're going to have to guard our hearts and keep our minds stayed on Jesus. We're going to have to be under verbal teachings that keep us rooted and grounded in faith in the cross. We've got to keep our faith and focus, despite what's going on around me, in the cross. I got to trust that God is in control. See?
Yes.
And Isaiah was sent to King Ahaz. King Ahaz was he was wicked, and he was of the tribe of Judah. Now, you remember the houses were split. There was the house of Israel, and there was the house of Judah. The northern kingdom was the house of 10 tribes of Judah. The southern kingdom was the 2 tribes, okay? So the 12 tribes were split. And the northern kingdom was the most wicked. The house of Judah, which was the southern, they had some here and there. You would have some good kings. This was the tribe or the lineage of David. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, King Ahaz was very wicked, and there was a plot to oust him against the Assyrian king, and the house of Israel made a plot to oust the king and put who they wanted on the throne. See, politics was being played out back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want King Ahaz. They wanted somebody there that they can control. So they came up against the house of Judah to attack it. But they didn't want to take and attack Judah. They just wanted to switch out the king. So God sends Isaiah to King Ahaz, who was a young king, but he was wicked. And he told him, But God only did this for the sake of the house of Judah, okay, for his people in Judah. It wasn't for the king. He said, ask me what you want me to do. I'm here to do it. But the king said no. He tried to sound like he was all humble and, oh, I'm not going to bother the Lord with that. But the Lord said, let me tell you what I'm going to do, not for your sake, but for the house of Judah. See?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I hear and know the plot that they have to oust you. My point is, God knows all things. See?
Yes. Yes.
There is evil. There's nations rising up, trying to attack, even today, God's people and their rights, and trying to destroy the plans of God. You and I have to be spiritually in tune and know. See, God spoke to King Ahaz. See, there, God always has a mouthpiece in the land. And then you and I have to be in tune. We can't get caught up in what the world is saying, because otherwise you'll be deceived and fall for error. And nobody that was the house of Israel was destroyed by the Assyrian king. They came into captivity to the Assyrians. God was still trying to deal with Judah, but they didn't go into captivity under the Babylonian king until 100 years later.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, even though God may pronounce a judgment, if we, the people, repent and stand and know the times of the seasons and the times and where we're at, and walk according to the word of God in that season, God says he can repent from his judgment. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In this world that we're in, there's a lot going on, but God has allowed the door of America to remain open so that the gospel can continue to come from this nation to others. See, he's still trying to save souls, but if I'm caught up in what the rhetoric of the world is saying, I'll miss the movement of God. See,
mm-hmm. Amen.
We have to be in tune and know what God is saying. Even though things were going on in the time of Israel, politically nations were rising and falling, God always had a mouthpiece to let them know what he was doing and where he was at. He told Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? That's when the angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God ran it by Abraham before he did anything. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
You and I have to be in tune with truth to know where God is at in the times and seasons of any nation or any prophetic time frame. Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
When the angels came, Lot had no clue that God was going to destroy that city. But God revealed it. He said, shall I hide from you? And when he revealed to Abraham what was happening, Abraham could intercede. What am I saying? When God reveals to you what's going on in your nation or around, you and I need to know how to. And I cannot be misinformed. I cannot have disinformation. I got to have the truth. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
I got to understand the truth. Don't go with the rumors. Don't go with the opinions. Don't go with the whatever it is that's going. You and I have to know where we're at. And there are many sources out there that will tell us, that God will direct you and I to the right source. Put it that way. Okay?
Yeah.
So here he says, and we'll probably close with this. Let me see here. Where do we stop at? Where do we start?
You said go to 14.
Oh, we hadn't even started, huh? Okay, verse 14. 2 Timothy 2.
Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers.
Okay. Keep going.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth.
All right. So it says in the notes, when it says of things, these things put in remembrance, it says has special reference to the issues of life and death set out in the previous three verses. It says if the cross is abandoned, Christ shall profit nothing. So when it says, but to the subverting of the hearers, refers to overthrowing their faith. This is the whole point and purpose. Satan wants to overthrow our faith. So it says, he told them here, he says, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no avail, but to the subverting of the hearers. And he tells them, study to show yourself approved unto God. It means, refers to a workman who has been put to the test and meeting these specifications has won the approval of the one who has subjected him to the test. You have to study. We have to be like the Bereans. Everything Paul said, they went back and studied to know for themselves. Not that they didn't trust Paul, but they wanted to know for themselves. You have to investigate. I see, I love investigating and knowing. You can't just tell me something. I want to dig in and find out who, what, why, when. I want to know. See? So people may say something, and sometimes I'll be talking to my husband, he'll say something. I was like, so where'd you get that from? And he'll get frustrated sometimes because I won't just take his word. And I go dig to know, and I'm like, this is the truth right here. Now you reading, da, da, da. Instead of just listening to the rumors or listening to the news or the report, we have to know. We have to, and we use it with the word of God. We got to study to know. Because like I said before, some of these translations are just an idea for an idea thought, or a thought for thought, or phrase for phrase, instead of a literal word for word translation. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
They're trying to relay a thought or an idea to us. So you don't want the thought or idea or the opinion. You want to know what God's intent. And the King James Version is the closest to the literal translation of the what God, what he intended in the scriptures. Okay?
Amen.
So whatever translation you use, always use a King James Version to compare and make sure that it's saying the same thing.
Right. Amen.
And I'm going to have to close because we're out of time. Because it says, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I can't come giving you just my opinion about
right.
something.
Mm-hmm.
We got rightly divided means I got to have to dig in here and know the context. I have to know the background of what was going on, know the context of what's going on, instead of trying to make it fit an already preconceived thought that I have. A lot of preachers do that.
Amen.
They'll take a doctrine and say, name it and claim it. I'm just using this as an example. And or speaking stuff into existence, they'll take the scriptures and try to make it fit that idea or that thought that they have or that opinion. You see what I mean? And they'll take the scriptures, and it may say a certain thing, and it seems like it fits that thought or that opinion, but they don't read the context or the background of the scriptures to know what God was saying in his intent during that time.
Amen.
We're living in a time where preaching now is not rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
It's giving you the people opinion, their own opinions to their doctrines and the preconceived ideas, and they make the scriptures fit that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And on that note, y'all write this down, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 or 16, we'll start.
Okay.
It says, if one doesn't properly understand the cross, one cannot rightly divide the word of truth. So when you hear people preaching and they're not explaining that your faith has to be, you can't change yourself, you can't deliver yourself, you have to put your faith in the right object so that the power of the Spirit of God can work, put it in the cross, and the Spirit of God can work in your life. If that's not the basis or the foundation of their preaching and their ministry, then they cannot, and you cannot rightly divide the word of truth.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So next week we'll finish this and we'll get more in depth because we're leading up to the Antichrist and how he's going to use deception to fool Israel, and they will think he's the Messiah, and he will go into a contract with them or a covenant, and 3.5 years into the contract, he's going to break it and they're going to realize he's really not the Messiah. Okay? So until next Tuesday, those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. But Until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll be back on an understanding of God's word. We pray we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk and in your faith. So until next time, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.